Hello and welcome to Hey, Remember the 80s? I'm Joe.
I'm Carrie.
Remember, we're not professional podcasters or music critics. We're just getting good and juiced and talking about 80s music, so give us a break.
Yeah.
Carrie, all this performance-enhancing steroid use in the news with those horses makes me think, does this have to do with steroids? I hope not.
I don't think so. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Well, welcome, Carrie.
Thank you. Welcome to you, Joe.
Welcome to all the listeners out there, new ones and loyal ones. We found some listeners in Ruther Glen, Virginia, Flagami, Florida, and Bembibre, Spain. Jeez, what did I do to deserve this? Usually it's not three of them, I don't know.
I know, that was very intense this week. All right, well, all of those folks and everyone can check out our Facebook at facebook.com/HRT80S or our Twitter at HRT80S. Yeah, those things exist.
They sure do.
Joe, we have a couple tidbits this week, so let's dive in. First, I wanted to talk about Robert Smith of The Cure, and he has appeared on a new single by a band called Churches. I love that band. I think you do too, right?
Yes, I do. I've seen them live a couple times. Okay, I'll let you talk first or more, and then I have something to say about them.
So they have a new single that just came out called How Not to Drown. And like I said, Robert Smith is featured on that. It's good. I like it a lot, Joe.
I like it too. Like I said, I like the band a lot. They have three albums, and my friend Michael, not the other Michael, friend of the podcast, but the other friend of the podcast, Michael, when Church's third album came out, he sent me a tweet that someone wrote, and it said, congratulations to Churches for releasing the same album three times. I love the second album the most. It's so good. Mm-hmm, but, you know, by the third one, I was like, it is kind of getting a little same sounding. And I heard about this Robert Smith feature, and I thought maybe this will be different for them. And as soon as I heard it and I heard the lead singer's voice, Lauren Mayberry, I was like, you know what? They are great. I love them. And yeah. I love the sound and I love the direction here. And I like Robert Smith on this too. I think it's a great single and I'm really excited.
I understand that criticism because I agree. Churches has a vibe and they stick with it. They're not trying to get away from it, but it's good. It's a good vibe, so they can keep going for it. And her voice is so great and so unique that it's just like, I'd listen to her sing anything, so I'm not really bothered by it.
Yeah.
But off of this, you know, so Robert Smith has been in the news and he is saying that apparently he has some kind of album that is just noise. It's what he's characterizing as noise. I don't know if that means like it's not great music or if it's literally just like ambient sounds or what. But he's going to release that as a solo album because he said he didn't want to release that as a Cure album. But there are apparently two more Cure records coming down the pike soon. So I don't know. We'll wait and see, but I'm kind of excited to see what's going on there.
It's funny to think of people who don't like The Cure. They're probably like, isn't it all noise?
True. <Come on. laughs> Well, Joe, I have another quick tidbit too. And speaking of new music, I had not heard that there is a posthumous album coming out from Prince. And the title track, Welcome to America, was apparently released back in April. I didn't hear it. But I did hear the new track, Born to Die, which just came out. And I guess the whole album comes out on July 30th. It was recorded in 2010, and it's apparently a take on early Obama-era politics and the ongoing struggles of Black Americans. So at least interesting, if nothing else, to hear Prince's take on those things.
She sells everything, A to Z, anything just to keep her free from the hustle of the streets. She left the church a long time ago. Said they couldn't teach what they did not know. That's when she lost her.
So, your thoughts on Born to Die?
I'd like to talk about this off the air, Carrie.
Okay. I didn't mind it. So, the story apparently is that Cornel West was talking about Prince and said, well, he's no Curtis Mayfield. Curtis Mayfield was an R&B star back in the 60s and 70s who had a very political tone to his music. I guess Prince took that as a challenge to get into politics, and this was his political album. I say all of that to lead up to, this sounds like a Curtis Mayfield song. It's kind of like, all right, Prince.
And that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing, yeah. But it also is kind of like, Prince, you are a unique artist. Like, mm-hmm. You can still present your take on politics and Black America without completely aping Curtis Mayfield. So, I don't know. It's a good song, but it was very derivative, I thought.
It's not something I would add to a playlist. Well, we talked about two 80s artists who have new music out, and I just want to quickly talk about a contemporary musician who wishes he had put out music in the 80s, I guess, because John Mayer, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I could take him or leave him.
Mm-hmm.
You told me about his song, New Light, and I became obsessed with that. Yeah. That was from about 3 years ago.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, so good. And you know, there are some songs I like, but I don't listen to his entire output. But his new album coming out soon is called Sob Rock. And he stated, you know, he's basing it on that like smooth, easy rock from like the 80s. And the album mm-hmm. cover like completely has the drawn mini blinds with the yes. shade and the shadows and the font. And it's even got the Nice Price sticker on it. So cute.
Yeah, he's doing full 80s throwback cosplay, whatever you want to say. He's diving in. I used to love John Mayer. His first album, Room for Squares, and then his second album, I loved those two albums. I saw him in concert. He was great, I guess. And then something happened. He kind of went off the deep end and his, you know, jerky persona overtook the music. I haven't really been into him for quite a while, except for New Light, which you mentioned. But I'm very excited to hear what he does with this, because if nothing else, I think he at least seems to be in tune to what that kind of music should sound like, and it'll be very interesting to hear his take on it.
Well, you can check out a taste of the album, because the single and video Last Train Home has been released, and I checked it out, and it's pretty good, and Maren Morris is singing there at the end.
I haven't heard that. I didn't listen to it yet, but I'm going to.
One micro tidbit, Crowded House's new album has been released, so everyone, let's take a listen to that, and then we can discuss our feelings about it on a future date.
Wow, I didn't even realize. You are scooping me on Crowded House news. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, well, now I have my Saturday afternoon planned. All right. Well, we got to get right into the meat of our episode today. Joe, you know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the longest piano solos of the 80s. So I figured we might as well talk about the longest guitar solos of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all from singles that charted on the Hot 100. So there might be 80s songs that have longer guitar solos. And this is from that book I've talked about a bunch of times called The 80s Music Compendium. The first listing says, Take Me With You by Prince has a 115-second guitar solo, but I listened to the single version, and I tried to find any other version that might exist. You know, I thought, well, maybe it's from the 12-inch single or whatever. I'm not hearing a guitar solo of 115 seconds because the song itself is only like 3 minutes. And I'm like, what's happening? Am I crazy? So anyways, I left that one off the list. I just felt like an idiot.
Yeah, you're not going to get any info out of me. I think I just made it obvious in tidbits that I'm not the go-to for Prince.
Yeah.
You know, I don't dislike him, but the people that like him just love him. We've talked about this before,
yeah.
And I just feel it's best not to say anything. There's no song I dislike, mm-hmm. but I don't just seek the music out. It's okay when I hear it, I like it, but I'm not crazy in love with it like everyone else is, so I just back off.
Okay, very understandable.
So I guess we'll skip that one on a technicality, because that dude is hearing tones that other humans can't, I believe, right?
I don't know.
But the next longest guitar solo in a charting hit in the 80s is on Who's Crying Now by Journey. That one contains an 87-second guitar solo by Neil Schon. From Journey's 7th studio album, Escape, which was stylized as E5C4P3 on the cover. Why?
I don't know. Stuff like that really just makes me mad. It's so stupid.
Originally, Sean recorded a really aggressive and experimental solo for the end of the song, but he was vetoed by Steve Perry and Jonathan Cain, so he had to record a second solo, which he said was the simplest thing he could play off the top of his head. And it worked. Who's Crying Now was the first single from the album, and it peaked at number 4 on both the Hot 100 and the Rock chart. Journey also has another entry high up on this list of longest guitar solos. Be Good to Yourself has one that clocks in at 77 seconds. Also a first single, this one off their 1986 album, Raised on Radio, which was their first in 3 years after that break for Perry to pursue a solo career. The band didn't record a video for this song because MTV had played their previous music videos so much that they were afraid of overexposure. That's good on them, you know?
Yeah.
And it seemingly didn't hurt the song, which went to number 9 on the Hot 100 and number 2 on the Rock chart.
So it's funny to listen to the Who's Crying Now solo after hearing what Sean said about it, because it is so simple. I mean, I don't know anything about guitar solos, but when you listen to it, it's just like the same thing over and over again.
It's effective, though. They did it
for
right.
For sure, yeah. I like both of these songs.
Me too.
I really do. Journey, I think we talked about them very recently. I can't remember why.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Don't Stop Believing, please. Get it out of my life. But honestly, there's no other Journey song that I don't want to hear. You know, I like all of them. I love some of them. They have a great catalog of songs, and these are two of them, and I like to hear them. So there you go.
I'm going to slightly disagree with you, because I would add Open Arms and Faithfully to that list with Don't Stop Believin', because to me, those three, I just don't need to hear them again. But literally, yeah, every other one, I love it. You know, what's the one I heard yesterday? Stone in Love. That one is so good. They just have so many you don't hear on many 80s stations other than Charlie's. And they all deserve to be celebrated. These two especially.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. So up next, we've got Horizontal Bop by Bob Seger. Remember Bob Seger from our Piano Solos episode? Well, he has got long guitar solos too.
He's got stamina. Yeah.
This one has two different solos, one of 84 seconds and another of 24 seconds. All right, Joe, I'm going to give you a direct quote from Wikipedia about this song. The subject is having sex.
Oh my God.
That's the sentence. And I just want to say, yeah, no shit.
Jesus.
The 24 second guitar solo in the middle of the song is performed by Drew Abbott, a member of the Silver Bullet Band. And that longer outro guitar solo is played by Seger himself. There's also a killer horn solo by Alto Reed, and famous pianist Dr. John is playing the keyboards. So Bob Seger really knew how to put together a band.
Yeah, but that can't be their real names.
Oh, I think I don't know about Alto Reed. Yeah.
Alto Reed, come on. You play the horn, get out of here. You think he was born with that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Carrie, don't be naive.
Don't really know, maybe. What if his name was Alto because his parents wanted him to be a horn player and they pushed him into it?
And where'd the Reed come from?
Oh, yeah. Didn't even make that connection.
Grow up.
Oh, God. All right. Horizontal Bop was the fourth single from the album Against the Wind. This title single, You'll Accompany Me and Fire Lake, had all reached the top 15, but this one peaked at 42 on the Hot 100.
Good.
I know. This one, I'm not interested in.
God, between this and that Tube Snake Boogie by ZZ Top, get out of my life.
I know. Yeah, this one is not for me. I don't need this one.
It can go away forever. I never want to hear it again.
All right, moving on.
Up next, Smoking Gun by Robert Cray Band. This one has a solo that's 80 seconds long. And we covered this one in a one-hit wonders quiz way back when. Robert Cray formed his own band at the age of 20, and he played college towns up and down the West Coast. He appears uncredited in the movie Animal House as the bassist for the fictional house party band Otis Day and the Knights. His fifth studio album, Strong Persuader, was a huge critical hit. Our old friend Robert Christgau called it the best blues record in many, many years. And that is Robert Cray playing the great guitar solo. The song reached number 2 on the rock chart, and it peaked at number 22 on the Hot 100 in 1987. Cray is still recording today, and he put out an album in 2020. That's Cray. God.
I don't know if we talked about this when we did this one on the One Hit Wonders quiz, but this was a song that was all over MTV, the video.
If you did mention it way back then, I completely forgot, because that's shocking.
That's the thing, you know, it was one of those videos we've talked before about, you know, just when we were younger, that I would see it and I'd be like, what is this? This is not for me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is for my dad. Why are they playing it on MTV? You know, I think at a certain point, MTV, they weren't like interested in like hip anymore. They were interested in like, I don't know, I don't want to say obscure, but like they wanted to break new music or whatever. I don't know. I just remember every time this video would come on, I'd be like, get out of here. But I like this song now. I do. I think there's value in it. And he's obviously a great guitar player. And I don't mind hearing the song at all now. It's probably not one I'm going to put on my playlist. But when I hear it, I'm always kind of a little bit delighted. Like, oh, yeah, there's that one.
Mm-hmm. No, for me, it's more like I don't remember it from the 80s at all. But for some reason, I would see the name the Robert Cray Band, like in a magazine or in a newspaper, whatever, in the 80s and 90s. And for some reason, just thinking, you know what? This is like old people music.
For sure.
And even when you hear it and it comes on immediately, my first thought is, gosh, this like 40-year-olds must have loved this shit.
I think they did.
Everything about the song just screams older mainstream rock fans.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Well, speaking of older mainstream rock fans, up next is a song called Bright Eyes by Robin Thompson Band.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the guitar solo in this song clocks in at 78 seconds. And I guess Robin Thompson is a person who named his band after himself. I thought when I first saw this that it was two dudes with the last name Robin and Thompson. But Robin Thompson actually has an interesting story. He was part of a band in the early 70s called Steel Mill, which included a guy you may know named Bruce Springsteen. And Thompson's debut solo album included guest appearances by Timothy B. Schmidt and Melissa Manchester. So he had some friends, I guess. Mm-hmm. In 1980, he released the album Two Bees, Please, which included Bright Eyes. And the two bees is because his name has two bees in it. All right, friend. That is Thompson playing the guitar solo. This song peaked at 66 on the Hot 100 in 1980. Was the only song to ever chart for Thompson. He continued to have a recording career up until 2013, but passed away in 2015 of cancer. I didn't mind this song. What did you think?
I'm going to take a page from the Carrie playbook and say, you know, it was fine. It just kind of faded into the background for me.
It made me think of a jam band. It had very jam band qualities. I felt like I should be barefoot on a lawn.
Twirling.
Yeah, exactly.
But how funny, because Two Bees, Please was almost the name of our podcast.
You really got them today. Wow.
I had two cups of coffee.
Yeah, I'd never heard of his involvement with Bruce Springsteen, though. I guess no. Steel Mill also included like Stevie Van Zandt and two other people that went on to be a part of the E Street Band. So I don't know if Robin Thompson was kicking himself, but mm-hmm. he continued to have a relationship with Bruce Springsteen. Like they would perform on stage together at certain points. So I guess there was no bad blood.
That's so interesting because now I'm just thinking about leader of the band Bleachers, Jack Antonoff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Fun, and he had a band before that, and I think it was called Steel Train, and I wonder if he used that because that was Bruce's. He's obsessed with Bruce Springsteen, in case you didn't know. They even have a song together that came out a few months ago.
I knew about mm-hmm. Steel Train, but I didn't know that he was obsessed with Bruce Springsteen. That's
yeah, totally.
Something. Okay.
Carrie, have you heard of a song called 25 or 6 to 4 by the band Chicago?
I have heard of it.
We could have covered it in Coming Around Again.
Well, it's not the same song. It's a remake.
It's not?
No.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Never mind. Yeah, totally different. Everything about this entry is confusing to me.
Yeah, well, let's get into it.
Well, here's a fact. You can take this one to the bank. The guitar solo in that song is 77 seconds long. So in September 1986, Chicago released the album Chicago 18. Also, maybe if they had come up with different ways to title their albums, it would be less confusing for me.
I agree.
This was their first album after Peter Cetera left the band, and they replaced him with 23-year-old Jason Scheff. And they decided to debut him with a remake of a song featured on Chicago's second album, released all the way back in 1969. The single went all the way to number 4 back then, but this time it only went to number 48 in 1986 because it's terrible. The original version's guitar solo was played by then-band member Terry Kath, who tragically passed away in 1978. It's unclear who played the solo on the updated version. Three session guitarists were used to play guitar on that album, Michael Landau, Buzz Fighton, and good old Steve Lukather from Toto.
Couldn't find confirmation of who's doing the guitar solo in this new version, but this song is bonkers. Yeah, why are you redoing songs? Just reads as very sad to me, especially since it was the first album since Peter Cetera left. Just move on. And that they released it as the first single. Desperate, just desperation.
There should have been someone at that record company who told them this was a bad idea, A, to re-record it,
yeah.
And make it sound like garbage and ruin it, and to release this as the lead single, and to make the video that they made for it.
I requested Joe watch this video because I stumbled across it this morning. We've talked about weird 80s videos, and I guess this one isn't like any weirder than any other video, but it just was so disturbing to me when I saw it this morning. It apparently takes place in the future.
2036.
Yes. The teenagers in this high school are being watched by TVs, and they have barcodes on bracelets and they have to conform, and it was so much. It was so much.
You are selling it short. It was a total nightmare. Nothing made sense. So it was supposed to be the future. My favorite part was the teachers were like on TV screens and asking questions, and another finger would point at the student on another screen, right?
Yeah.
And they had to answer, and they would answer the questions by typing on a typewriter. And I'm like,
yeah.
You think we're still using typewriters in 2036? Yeah, like everything else was computerized. I just think they didn't have the budget.
The most offensive thing to me was that the overlord, I thought it was the same woman on every TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was an Asian woman. And I was like, okay, so they're saying like Asia is going to take over America or whatever. I didn't like it. You know, she was in a very stereotypical outfit, like of a kimono. And like, I think she had white paint on her face, like kabuki makeup. Like, I was just like, grow up. China's not going to take over the world, you know? But at the end, they like come back from the future to 1986. And then that woman, the Asian woman, is like a student at the high school. And what was the deal with the crystal horse?
I thought you would tell me.
I don't know. I
I don't know. The very end, she's like walking towards the students who traveled through time and she drops like a crystal unicorn figurine, but he catches it and then the video's over. I did a little research and this video won an American Video Award in 1986 for best cinematography.
Get out of here. Absolutely no thank you. We're going real deep down a hole here. People will have to watch this video. But one last question. Was the teenage girl in the jean jacket, was she like an actress from that time? Was she on like a sitcom or something? She looked really familiar to me.
Ooh, I wonder if it was the lady from My Sister Sam.
The one who died or the other one?
Yeah, the other one was Pam Dauber.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, I don't think it was her.
I guess I'll have to find out.
Yeah, we'll have to track down some information. All right, everyone. We should have told you to take a break and watch the video before we got far into it, but there you go. Up next, the last guitar solo we are going to cover today is 73 Seconds, and it is from Running Down a Dream by Tom Petty. This is from his debut solo album, Full Moon Fever. That's a crazy sentence, but it really was the first album he recorded without the Heartbreakers. Although all but drummer Stan Lynch ended up appearing on the album in different spots, so they were still involved. And Petty also recruited a bunch of famous friends like Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison, and George Harrison, with whom, along with Bob Dylan, he had recorded the year before as the Traveling Wilburys. Jeff Lynne's influence led many to say that the album was more Beatles-like and a cleaner and glossier version of Petty's previous rock work. That is Mike Campbell playing the guitar solo. Campbell was a longtime member of the Heartbreakers and co-wrote this song in addition to classics like Refugee and Here Comes My Girl. He also worked consistently with Stevie Nicks and Don Henley in the 80s, and he recently toured with Fleetwood Mac after the latest Lindsey Buckingham debacle. So Mike Campbell, name you should know. He also appears playing guitar on my favorite album of all time. Do you know what that is?
Oh my gosh. Was it from the 90s?
No.
80s?
You should know. Come on. It's Taking the Long Way by the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, I should know that. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, I wonder what songs.
He's listed as just playing. I think he's like the guitar. Whenever there's guitar, it's him.
Love it.
Yeah. So anyways, Running Down a Dream, this is honestly another one that used to, every time it came on MTV, I'd be like, get out of here.
Really? Yeah. I loved it. And the video.
I liked the video. It was like animated, so it was at least interesting, but I really remember not liking it at all. But again, this is another one that now when I hear it, I'm like, oh yeah, I like it.
I remember this song and the ones from this album and the singles being like, okay, I feel like now it's okay for me, a young person, to like Tom Petty's music.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, I really do take the point. This was like glossier. It was more, I don't want to say pop, because I don't think it was more pop. It just was more aimed towards the masses.
There's a sheen to it.
Yeah. You could connect with it where maybe his other stuff was kind of dad rock, but this was more like just rock.
I think this might be the only song we've discussed today where I can hear the guitar solo.
Yeah, that's true. It's great.
No, I mean, not like while I'm listening. I mean, like in my mind right now, I can like.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. No, I get it. And I get it. It is very, it's iconic. It's definitely iconic.
Dust that off.
I want to know more about Mike Campbell now. I mean, I know the name and I knew that he was Tom Petty's like collaborator and was in the Heartbreakers, but I didn't know that he worked on like Belladonna with Stevie Nicks and Don Henley's solo albums. He really was in the 80s. Yeah. Like he was branching out and he wasn't just working with Tom Petty. And then, yeah, he's continued to work with great acts.
Well, I'm glad he made the list of the longest guitar solos, but just barely. I'm just kidding. So that was fun, though. What's next? Harmonica solos?
Maybe.
Vocoder?
This book, I think, has horn solos. Maybe we'll do horn solos next.
Saxophone, yes. That'd be good. Sax, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the end of that segment. And Carrie, I think we paired up nicely this week with another segment that goes along with guitars, and that is Screamer of the Week. We did this once before, and the name comes from WLIR. That's the very influential Long Island radio station that broke a lot of new wave music in the States. And that station had a feature called Screamer of the Week, where listeners voted on the best new song of the week. So let's find out what the screamer was for a couple weeks back in the 80s.
So Joe, in the first week of June 1981, the screamer of the week was Formidable by Syl Sylvain and the Teardrops. I'm like laughing as I said that. It sounds so
stupid.
Why
isn't it formidable?
Did you listen to the song?
I did. I really did. And then I Googled him to read up about him, but I must have been reading and not paying attention.
We'll get to it in a second. First, let's talk about Syl Sylvain, who was born Sylvain Sylvain Mizrahi in Egypt in 1951. Don't know if he's any relation to Isaac Mizrahi, the famous fashion designer. But he moved to New York during his childhood. And at 20 years old, he joined the New York Dolls as their rhythm guitarist. I'd never heard of him before. After the Dolls broke up, after just two albums in 1977, Sylvain recorded one solo record and then formed a band called The Teardrops with female drummer Rosie Rex and bass player Danny Reed. A review of a live show from the time said that Sylvain was the band's weakest link because his shrill, clipped rock singing doesn't really do justice to the songs. Before I stop the shadows screaming, don't you take my dream. I don't know. You don't really hear that on this song, which is very smooth and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And the record label would not promote this album, so the band had to arrange a tour themselves. So I guess it's no surprise then that Formidable did not chart. So I'm laughing because the song, the chorus, he's singing "Tu es formidable," which is French. It means you are formidable, like you're saying. But the way he sings it is in French. And it is so funny because the first couple times I listened to it, I was like, why is this song called Formidable? Because I thought he was saying, do it for me, love. That's what I thought he was saying the whole time in the chorus.
I didn't get that far in thinking about this song. I had it on and I liked it. And I thought, this guy's interesting. He must have a story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just looking and that's what happened when I listened to the song. I'm sorry.
No. It's fine. I just like really liked it a lot. So I looked up the lyrics. Yeah. And then I was like shocked. I'm like, what is he singing in French? He's singing Tu es formidable. So anyways, it's great. I think it's like very rockabilly and like power pop. Not what I would expect out of someone from the New York Dolls. But, you know, then David Johansen went on to become Buster Poindexter. So I guess they had facets to them.
Did I tell you that my friend Sheila was in a band and they opened for the New York Dolls when they did like a mini comeback?
No, you have not told me that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to get some stories about Sylvain.
Yeah.
See if he was related to Isaac Mizrahi.
Well, he seems like a nice guy. I mean, I don't know. There wasn't any bad stories out there about him. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the song, you know, for a screamer of the week, not necessarily the ones I gravitate to. Mm-hmm. I liked this.
Yeah.
What I didn't like, in 1985, the Screamer of the Week was Nemesis by Shriekback. Shriekback was an English band formed in 1981 by former members of XTC and Gang of Four. They were very prolific. They pumped out six albums between 82 and 88. They had some success on the UK indie chart and the US dance charts in the early 80s. Also, director Michael Mann was a big fan of theirs and included their music in his movie Manhunter and in episodes of Miami Vice. That seems like a big deal for an act in the 80s to get on Miami Vice. Could totally make your career.
Yeah, in a couple different episodes, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nemesis was the first single from their fourth album, Oil and Gold, and it peaked at number 94 on the UK chart, and it went all the way to 18 in New Zealand. Nice. The band actually had two hits on the modern rock chart from their 1988 album, but they split up shortly afterwards. Carrie, I don't know if you meant to, but when you added this to the playlist for me to listen to, you put the video on there.
Well, that's the only way it's available on Apple Music, so that's why I had to do that. Well, then did it scare you?
You, Apple Music, and Shriek Back were all in cahoots to give me the worst nightmares of my life.
Funny you say that, Joe, though, because I listened to the song. I was like, I don't like this song at all. But then when I saw the video, I thought the video was almost comical. Like, I was like, this is so ridiculous. And then I was thinking to myself, if I'd heard the song back in the 80s, I would have been terrified. But seeing the video, I probably would have laughed at it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you thought it was funny. I can tell you, I definitely wasn't laughing at 3 a.m.
I'm sorry to laugh. I just... Yeah, it's not great, but I totally see that he included their music in the movie Manhunter. That must have been a perfect fit. Oh, scary. Yeah. Have you ever seen Manhunter?
Hell no. I just saw Silence of the Lambs for the first time a year ago.
Oh, wow. Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah, Manhunter is even scarier than Silence of the Lambs.
I get the name Shriek Back because, like, you watch the video and they're shrieking and then you see them and you shriek back.
I liked being introduced to them, though. I had never heard that band name before, so now it's another one I can tick off. All right, Joe, that's it for this week.
That is it. Well, Carrie, I don't know if we have any teasers for upcoming episodes, but word on the street is people want more Paz and Jop info.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, like I said, we're definitely going to do it again. It sounds like horn solos is on the docket.
Definitely saxophone. I wonder if Alto Reed will show up. If he doesn't, he needs to change that name back, right?
Yes.
We could talk about, real quick, Carrie, some things coming up on Charlie's 80s Attic. If anyone wants to tune in, there's some fun summer stuff because you've, of course, got your Soundtrack Saturdays. Soundtrack Saturdays moving to noon Eastern this summer because we are doing some countdowns that will air throughout the weekend, and it will be top 40 summer hits of each year up to 86.
And you and I and Charlie are collaborating on those countdowns moving forward. So mm-hmm. you can hear
It'll be
us.
So fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Those will replay throughout the weekend too. So you can catch them on Saturday and Sunday.
Don't forget the dance party mixes. Those are so awesome.
They are amazing.
You're not going to hear that anywhere else, you know?
No, Charlie makes them. They are so good. People, okay, forget everything I said about Charlie's 80s Attic. Just listen on a Saturday night, please. Turn it on starting at 7 p.m. Eastern on a Saturday night. You're going to hear like a music mega mix, dance mix. It's going to blow your mind how good these are.
Yeah, definitely tune in. And I mean, if that's the only thing you listen to, like Carrie instructed, I guess that's fine. But I do have a new show coming up
yes.
on Sundays. And next Sunday will be the first time you can hear it. And it's Smooth Sailing Sundays. And you'll hear a lot of really fun, smooth rock and R&B. So yacht rock, R&B, light jazz. If it's soft and smooth, you'll hear it. And that's Sunday at noon Eastern.
You going to feature John Mayer's new songs on there?
I might sneak it in there.
Sundays starting at noon. Smooth
yep.
sailing Sundays from Joe. Very exciting yep. stuff. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in today. And we will be with you again next week.
We're always with you. We're with you all the time.
I will take us out this week and just remind you all to be good, be kind. And, you know, if anyone is not treating you with respect, you just turn to them and you say, in the immortal words of Holly Knight, better be good to me.
Yeah. And if they yell at you, just shriek back.
There you go. All right.
Bye. Bye.
So if you're coming with me, let me know. Maybe you're the last train. Maybe you're the last train home.